Now, there's another step here, and that is the fifth step, and it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Now, the fact of the matter is, he wasn't humbled by someone else. Now, many of us, I'm sure, have been humiliated by someone else saying or doing something. But he wasn't humble like that. He humbled himself. That's the most difficult thing in the world to do. One of the finest things I ever heard about John Wesley was this. One time he was going to cross a stream, just a brook, and there was a narrow board across. And as he went over, he met a liberal preacher of that day, and there were in that day, of course. And this liberal preacher swelled up, and he says, "I never give way to a fool." John Wesley looked at him for a moment and smiled and began to back off. And John Wesley said, "I always do." May I say to you, it's difficult to take that humble place. But that's always made me think a great deal of John Wesley. It's difficult to humble ourselves. Well, our Lord did that. And he became obedient unto death and the death of the cross. And our Lord came as a servant. He took an humble place, you see. Now, when it says he humbled himself, it means that someone else did not humble him. Now, many of us have been humbled, I'm sure, by someone else doing it for us. Now, I won't give names or places, but I was speaking quite a few years ago at a certain summer conference grounds. And the custom in that day was for all the speakers in any given week, would all sit on the platform every night for the evening service, regardless who was preaching. It was sort of a game like, I'll listen to you if you'll listen to me. And we would march on in a rather dignified and orderly manner. It was ritualistic. Well, in this auditorium, there had been a rain that afternoon. And believe me, it had poured down rain. And it had come in on the platform at certain places. And we had an Englishman on the program. He was a very gifted speaker, but very dignified. He couldn't get over the fact that I wore a sports shirt, even at night. That, to him, was the unpardonable sin. He wore a white shirt, collar, and tie. In fact, a frock-tail coat at night. And he was really dignified. And so he went in that night right ahead of me. And there was this water that had come from the rain was there on the platform. Made it rather slippery. He went in a very dignified way, and he hit that slick place there. His feet went out from in under him, and he sat down with, quite a bump. And you couldn't help but laugh. The man had broken his neck. I guess we would all laughed at him. And the audience roared. He got up. I've never seen anyone as humiliated as he was. In fact, I was laughing, so I had to leave the platform. I went to the back, and he came back because he was so humiliated. I've never seen a man humbled as that man. And the next night when we started in, I said to him, "You know, it'd be nice if we could have a repeat performance of what you did last night." And he turned on me and says, "Wasn't that humiliating?" Well, it certainly was. But you see, he didn't humble himself. He was humiliated. Now, many of us have been humiliated, but our Lord humbled himself. And that's something altogether different, you see. Then we are told here, became obedient unto death. Now, death is a very humiliating sort of thing. Actually, it's not natural. I hear people say sometimes at a funeral, "My, doesn't he look natural?" And I have to bite my lip because it's generally said by some well-meaning friend who wants to comfort the loved ones. I don't know why that should comfort them that Uncle So-and-so, our grandfather, looks natural in death. To tell the truth, I have to bite my lip to keep from saying, no, they don't look natural. Death is not natural. God didn't create man to die. Man dies because of sin, because of his transgression. And death came by the transgression of one man, and that one man was Adam. And death is humiliating. Now, when the Lord Jesus came to this earth, he's a little different than the rest of us. I don't know about you, but I suspect that you're like I am. I came to live, not to die. I honestly don't want to die. I want to live. And I've asked the Lord to let me live and finish this five-year program. When I first discovered, the doctor first discovered I had cancer, I was in the midst of a two-and-a-half-year program. And I asked everybody to pray that I finish the two-and-a-half-year program. And at that time, didn't look like I would. Well, the Lord let me finish it. And I immediately came up with a five-year program. And a friend of mine up in the San Francisco Bay Area that kids me a great deal, he said to me, he said, I know what you're going to do. The minute you finish that five-year program, if the Lord lets you finish it, you're going to come up with a 10-year program. You want to know something? I'd like to. I'm not going to. We'll have the five-year program again. But the interesting thing is that, very candidly, I don't want to die. When I hear people say, oh, they want to die and go and be with the Lord. Well, that's far better, but Paul says that's the ultimate. But he says to remain here is far better. I like that. I feel that there's a work to be done and that there's something for us to do today as we remain here on this earth. And I want to stay, but death is something I don't want to die. Now, the Lord Jesus came to this earth to die. He didn't have to die, but he came and gave himself willingly. He became obedient unto death. He didn't have to. I have to die, don't want to. He didn't have to die, but he wanted to. Why? In order that he might save me and save you and you and all of you if you trust him. And then the seventh and last thing, the death of the cross. Now, that's the same as we would say the gas chamber, the hangman's noose, or the electric chair, whatever it might be, the form of death. And I don't want to intrude something else here, but the Word of God does teach capital punishment. And this book has been probably the greatest civilizing instrument the world has ever had. And when anyone makes the statement that capital punishment is uncivilized, they apparently do not know what is the very foundation of civilization. That happened to be the Word of God. And my friend, if we don't put capital punishment back in, we're going to find out that many of us won't dare go out of our homes of an evening. It won't be safe anymore to walk the streets maybe in broad daylight. And that's true in some places. May I say to you, we're not as civilized as we think we are. Now, God didn't give capital punishment because it's uncivilized. He gave capital punishment because man is a sinner. And man is totally depraved. That's his condition. And doesn't make any difference who he is. And the only deliverance from a moral breakdown is revival. Unless revival comes, of course, we're apparently gone. Now, the Lord Jesus came down and took the death of the cross, the lowest thing that he could take. He came from the highest glory to the lowest place of humiliation. And why did he do it? Let's go back to our word, others. Others. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He left all of the glory of heaven, and he came down to this earth, became a man for others, for you and you and for me. Thank God for that. That's the mind of Christ.